Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
When you come here hungry, God says in His Word He'll always meet us. You know, the Bible says we draw near to God and He draws near to us and He is faithful to His Word. So, you know, I always like to start with a joke. Everything on the internet is true, right? I found out where Captain Hook the pirate, you know, how he came out getting his hook. And, I'm not sure about, you know, if I got all the facts straight, but basically it was a secondhand store. I want to open in a word of prayer. So let's all bow our heads together and just keep our hearts open, hear what Holy Spirit has to say. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this opportunity to come into Your house. And to come into Your presence. We come here and worship and praise You, Lord, but we thank You so much that You meet us when we come and draw near to You. And Lord, I pray that every one of us, that You would, that we'd have hearts ready for Your word and ready to be a blessing to the kingdom, a blessing to the lost and the hurting. Father, forgive us for every unrighteous thought, action, attitude, anything in our heart, anything in our past. Cleanse us right now, Lord. You said You're faithful to forgive us our sins when we ask. So we ask every one of us, Lord, in Jesus' name, that You would cleanse us. Wash us with the blood of Jesus. That, Lord, nothing would stand between You and us. Right now at this moment, nothing stands between You and us. That it's all washed away. You said You're faithful to forgive us. Cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. And we praise You for it, Lord, that now we can sit here, vessels ready to commune with You. That You can dwell in completely. There's nothing between us and You. And we are holy and righteous according to Your word because of what Jesus did. And we stand on that, God. We thank You for it. Let's have an awesome time together. Holy Spirit, teach us all today. Touch us all today in Jesus' name. Well, today we're talking about purpose, passion, and pursuit. Remember, it's a worship hymn series. How can we really worship Him if we don't know His will for our lives, or if we kind of got an inkling of what He wants of us and then we don't walk in it? To really worship God is to honor Him in obedience and in duty and in faithfulness, allowing Him to be the Lord of our lives, not ourselves. And it's always a balance. And I've said this almost every time I minister. Life is made up of all these little simple choices every day. But we want to yield to Holy Spirit. You've got a future and a plan in God that is second to none. You were born for a purpose. Everything Satan will do in this life, in your time, is designed to distract you, hold you back, trip you up, or misguide you into missing your calling and your purpose. Doesn't matter if you think you have no talent, or if you think you've got all kinds of talent, or you're somewhere in the middle with just a little talent, a lot of talent, or whatever. God has a purpose. There's a reason you were born. And you know, some people were born in the most obscure or thoughtless. Like some of us were raised with parents that loved each other, had a wonderful marriage. Some women gave birth to children they did not want. Some women found themselves pregnant, were not wanting that either. And that these children were born. And some of us might be of that. God has a purpose. You know, in the book of Psalms, it says He knew you and formed you in your mother's womb. And the book of, I love this one. I'm going to read this one to you. Give me a second. From Jeremiah. I love this one. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Now listen, the Holy Spirit's talking to each of us as an individual. He's talking to you. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you call upon me and go and pray. Then, and I'll listen to you. And you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And we're going to be talking a lot today about heart. You know, this screen here, let's go to that second screen. I've used this before, and I had forgotten about it and came upon it when I was looking through some photos for something else that I was looking for. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of how important it is to realize. You know, when you look at this, you see the brain cell, obviously magnified a tremendous amount of times, and then on the right you see the universe. Now, do you see a designer in there somewhere? Like when I go to a clothing store and I see Guess jeans or Tommy Hilfiger, I can recognize them without seeing the label because I've seen them enough and they're a certain style to that designer. And I can recognize, okay, that's a Hilfiger. I can and I'm no fashionista. I mean, but I can recognize a few of the real distinct ones that have a certain design, and I can recognize that the same person that designed the universe designed the brain cell. Look at the birth of a cell and the death of a star. Does that look like the same designer? And look at this, the human eye. And that is the nebula, I believe, that's a nebula. But I'm sorry, that got cut off on the photo. I should have shrunk it a little more. But isn't it amazing how our God can do these things? And our God says he formed you. He has a plan and a purpose for you. If he can do these things, how much more can he design our life and help us to fulfill what we really were meant to do and meant to be and meant to become when we lean on him and work his way instead of trying to stumble around finding our own way? We so often find if we will just go through life with him, we don't have to be the smartest person in the world. Things will work out good. When you fight and fight and fight doing it your own way, you may have success in some field, but how many of us have heard of movie stars and celebrities that became world famous and their lives were a mess and falling apart and they hated themselves? Many killed themselves, and yet they had everything we think we want in this world. But no, the one thing we need is to walk with God. Find the reason we were born at all. The very sole purpose that God put you here, there is something in you that you offer to the kingdom that nobody else can give. There's some talent in you, some need in you, some voice in you, something in you that God put in you that he wants to use to change this world, change the kingdom of God, and change the lives of others forever. Change their eternal destiny. And we got to have the purpose of God, but we have to yield our heart and lend our heart to it. In the book of Acts 11:22, it says, when he had come, now this was Barnabas. He was sent into this church that was growing. And anyway, I just want you to catch this about purpose of heart. When he had come, when he had came and seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. So in order to find your purpose, you have to choose in your heart. Make that your purpose. God, I am going to find out what it is you've called me to, and I'm going to run with it. Use me, Holy Spirit. Help me find. You choose that first. You don't find your purpose by just trying everything. No, there are things that we need to do, but the first thing we have to choose is, God, it's not what I want. Like Jesus prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. I want your purpose. Now, don't think that there's only one thing in life the Holy Spirit will use you to do. You don't start where you are and all of a sudden you just keep walking with God and you get to this end purpose. Oh, there is an end game for God. There's a plan for you to fulfill. But all along the way, you'll find what God has planned, purposed for you. You'll accomplish something and then you go to God, is there more? And yeah, there's more. Pastor, there's more. There's always more. God's always bigger. He's always got a plan that includes more. And there'll be more and more. The more we yield to him, there'll be more and more and more in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity that'll thank you for being obedient to God because you just kept seeking him more to get more in plan and purpose with his will. And we do it on purpose. We choose. In the world, there's many that choose pleasures. They choose to go after riches or fame. Oh, and not all of them will become world-renowned, but many in their hearts make that choice. But they're seeking things whose, no matter how successful they are, everything they accomplish is so temporary. Because when this life is done, it's done. But in the church, we choose things to pursue that have an eternal weight and value and purpose. We choose to side with the kingdom of God and put our own desires aside. And one thing I found about God, when we seek him and we seek first the kingdom of God, the things in this life that many others are chasing after, they're added to us. If we'll pursue God continually, make it our purpose to find what He has planned and purposed for our lives. Make that choice. If we stay on that track, the things will be added. We seek after God, the things are added. We seek after the things, we miss out on God. Didn't Jesus say that? When He talked about the sower sowing the word, didn't He say that many are deceived? The deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things and pressures and things of life entering in, they choke the word. Well, let's not be those that allow the word to be choked. Let's make it a purpose of our heart. It is with purpose we each must pursue God's call and destiny for our lives. You have a purpose much bigger than yourself. He's got things for you that you never would have dreamed. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even think. How much more can He do for you than you've maybe thought? Maybe you thought you wanted a bigger home and a nicer car, and you wanted to own the business that you're working in right now, or your own business in a similar field, something that you find really interesting and fun. Maybe that's God's plan for you, but let's go about it through seeking God, through putting Him first place and asking Him each step of the way what to do next. You may find that that big dream of yours was something you accomplished like that, and you go way beyond. The guy that wanted to have maybe a couple of fourplexes and an easy retirement, maybe God said, no, I want you to have an empire and fund the kingdom of God. You don't know. He can do way more with us than we can even think. Maybe you think that you're challenged right now where you're at. Well, guess what? God can stretch and increase and add to you beyond your imagination, beyond your ability to believe, because often we limit ourselves because of our education, our experience, or what we've had so far. But when we stop limiting ourselves, run to God and say, God, use me, then He'll start to direct your path. Now, there is a verse I'm going to read you, if I've jotted it down here. And I didn't, so I'm going to go to it in my Bible. And it's not on the screen, so don't be looking for it. I thought I had, you know what, I think I do have it written down. Unless the page fell out. I probably dropped it. So you'll find my scriptures laying in the aisle somewhere. That's okay, I can find it quick. I just want to read this to you, just so that you're aware that this is in the Bible. That it's not up to us always to find our own way. Okay, that's not the right. Oh, of course not, because it's completely the wrong book. Hey, you guys, come on. How many of you at work just get everything done so efficiently that you never have to go back and redo something? Come on. Okay, 8, where are we going? Verse 9. A man's heart plans his way. Now, this is in the book of Proverbs 16. A man's heart plans his way, but, it doesn't stop there. It says, but the Lord directs his steps. So we yield our heart to God, and our heart cries out, God, use me, help me. He'll teach you. He'll direct you. He'll say, well, maybe you should go to this school and get this, or take this course, or go get a job there. He'll start directing you because He's directing your steps. You might think that you have come to this place because of just circumstances, but I've got news for all of you. If you're a believer in Jesus, you're filled with the Spirit, you love Him with all your heart, and you've been walking with Him for any length of time, He's been directing your steps all along. And you're not where you are by accident. Oh, you may not have made all the right choices or yielded to Him in every area we could have, but He's still directing your steps, and He can still take you to exactly where He wants you to be. And don't limit your future by small thinking. He's got something for you. He's got something for you to do. And don't think I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I missed my opportunity. Because God can, He's got one plan for you, plan A. And no matter how many times you mess it up, He'll get you back on track to plan A if you continue to walk with Him. It's our heart that we yield to Him, and He directs our steps. And He's a good God. And you're not here by accident. You're here because He's got something for you to do, and you need to get excited about it. You got to realize it. There's more to this life than what I thought. I'm working, but there's more. There's more. There's more for you. Esther 4, 14, this verse just says it all. But if some homework for you, read the book of Esther. It's not that big. Read the book of Esther. Here's a woman just gone through a lot of trouble, finds herself married to the king, and yet he hands over authority to one of his underlings who decides he hates the Jews, not realizing that the king's wife is a Jew and is going to destroy them all. And this verse kind of sums it up when Mordecai, who had been helping Esther all along as a prophet of God, just giving her some direction, instruction, comes to her and says, and this is just a piece of the verse, 4:14, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? You might think you're where you are at work or in this church family or in your own physical family or the situations that you're in by accident or just by chance, or that's the way it's come down, but not so. God has a purpose and a plan. And no matter how much evil befalls us or the enemy works against us, he has a purpose and a plan, and he will work through those things. All things work together for the good. Now, God doesn't send all these troubles. Sometimes we blame God for some of the things the enemy is doing in our life. There is a Satan. There is a dark side. He wants to undermine your future. So don't blame God when something's coming to pass in your life that isn't in line with the Word. Run to the Word, find God's promise, and say, hey, wait a minute. Speak to those things, the Word of God. What did David say to Goliath? Did David fall down on his knees and cry out, God, what are we going to do here? Or, you know, help me. No, he spoke to Goliath and he prophesied to him and said, no, I'm going to take your head off and feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. That's what that little runty kid said to this soldier. And he was not an ordinary soldier. He was their champion, their best. And what happened is, because he's filled with the Spirit of God, he's walking with God, his words came to pass, not the giant's words. And we can live this way. Yield to God. Walk with them. Speak to your problems. No, God says this. And you tell that problem to leave. That problem will leave. It has no choice but to obey. Because who's in you? Didn't we just pray at the beginning of the service, God, forgive me. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Well, you're cleansed of all unrighteousness because Jesus' blood is not insufficient. It is sufficient. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. He's in you. His Spirit's in you. Nothing stands between you and God. And when you speak to a mountain, Jesus said, and you believe in your heart and you don't doubt that that mountain will obey. I am not saying anything from my own idea. I'm not that smart. I'm just repeating what Jesus said. And I see it in the Word, and I decided long ago, no matter how hard it is to believe, if Jesus said it, now this is the guy that rose from the dead, lots of witnesses. If he said it, I'm believing him. And I'm going to base my life on that. And I'm running with that. And some people, they want to do church, but they just have trouble believing. Well, I look at Jesus when he preached about all the stuff that these modern day Bible theologians that study the Word and critique it, they had trouble believing all these Old Testament things, but Jesus had no trouble believing them, and Jesus was raised from the dead. He believed Noah and the flood. You read through the different verses that he talks about. He believed Jonah and the whale. He believed these things, and he rose from the dead. As I'm believing the Word of God, I'm basing my life on it. And if some people don't like that, well, they don't have to like me. I'm not offended by that. Not everybody's going to love me because I stand up for Christ. I know they nailed him to a cross, so not everybody's going to love me. I'm okay with that. As long as you guys love me, your family. Are you determined to find your God-given purpose? Where am I? Okay, I think the scripture, or the, okay, go way back. Yeah, there you are. Aren't you determined to find your God-given purpose? Now, that is the question each of us needs to ask ourselves every day. Am I determined to find my God-given purpose? Well, if you are you willing to fulfill your purpose, reach toward your destiny in Christ. You know, you may have accomplished a lot for God already at this point in your life. There's always more. Continue seeking him for your full destiny. God, what is it? What can I do today? This is our time. Paul and Barnabas and Matthew and Luke, the book of Acts, we read all about them. That was their time. But this day, This dying world out there around us, this is our time. And what are we going to do with it? What are you going to do with the Spirit of God living on the inside of you and all the Word that He's poured into you and the ability that we have to grab hold on the internet, hear some of the best preachers from around the world, the most anointed men and women of God that have walked in our generation, in our lifetime. We can listen to them any day, any time. And we can repeat these messages, get them in our heart, and go and change the people in our workplace, change the people in our families, change the city that we live in, the province we live in, the country we live in. We can make a difference. This is our time. And I'm not going to, I love Paul and Barnabas and all these. I don't want to brag on what they did 2,000 years ago. I want to brag on what my pastor did yesterday, and what Dave did, what he's going to do tomorrow at work. What is God calling you to do? And you don't have to be bold and just run your mouth off. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit. And when He says, pray for this one, walk up to them and say, hey, I feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. Just do it. If the Holy Spirit puts it on your heart, just do it. The devil is shaking in his boots every time you get up in the morning. Give him a reason to be scared. Give him a reason. He's got no place in you. You know, we give him too much credit. We think he's got all kinds of ability to harm us. He's under your feet. He's a defeated enemy. The only authority he has in your life is what you allow him. Kick his rear end out of your life and out of your family and out of your workplace and out of your neighborhood, out of our city. We're the righteousness of God. It's His Spirit in us. Why are we sitting back doing so little with so much? What would Paul say to us if he walked in this room today? Is it with the opportunity, the ability we have to travel around the city and the country and to listen to the most anointed preachers again and feed ourselves and stay stirred up? What would he say to us? What are you doing with your time? What do you do with your 24 hours? Everybody, Paul, Barnabas, and everybody since has the same 24 hours a day. What did they do with it? What are we doing with it? God's got something in you that nobody else has. No one else. You're unique in all of the universe. And boy, He's got something for you to do. Everyone is called. And everyone has a purpose in God's house and in God's family and in this church. And I don't care how many churches there are. I love them all. The Christian churches, the preachers of Jesus are all great. But right here, City Light is a hub of what Holy Spirit's going to do. And it's going to blow out of this place in every direction. Oh, you mark my words. This place is going to be filled. This place is going to be filled. And then filled again. And then filled again. And we need more musicians because you can't just expect the same people to sing 3-4 services in a row. That's tough. And then we'll have to build. But that's a good problem. And it's not about our ability. That's where we miss it sometimes. We go, how can that ever happen? Well, God. I remember reading in the book of Acts, and 2,000 years ago, again, I said I don't want to brag about what they did 2,000 years ago. By the book of Acts, they had their first meeting with the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden, they go out and start yapping, and 3,000 people are added to the kingdom in a day. I don't think it's our ability that makes any difference. It's our meeting with God and saying, oh yeah, go God, use me, all, and just speak up. And Holy Spirit will pour Himself through you. Anyway, we will continue so I can... Okay, living life on purpose, we'll give you these things. Now we're living life on purpose. We're choosing to live and find God's purpose in our life on purpose, deliberately. It'll give you what? A strong prayer life, yeah. And when you start asking God, use me, and He's starting to tell you, speak up, go lay hands for that lady in a wheelchair. And you don't, she's some stranger in a mall. You'll have a good prayer life when He starts talking to you like that, and you decided to be obedient no matter what. No matter what, God, no matter how it embarrasses me, no matter what fear I have, no matter what you say, I will obey. You make that prayer and commitment to God, He'll start asking you to do some things. Oh, it will increase your prayer life. Hunger for God's word. Just remember, whenever God asks you to do anything, He's not asking you to do it. He's asking you to just step out and allow Him to do it through you. You are never alone. He never leaves you nor forsakes you, and He does not expect you to do anything in your own power. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit. Greater love and strength to forgive. Yeah, that'll come. And a hunger for God's word will change you forever. You get into the word and start seeing who you really are in Christ, you'll never be the same. It's not who you were or what you've done or how smart you are or how hard you've worked. It's who you are in Christ. Yeah. Right. It's Him in you. Man, that changes everything. You know, when it doesn't matter how many are against you, when it's you and God, you're the majority. A thirst to pursue your God-given destiny. Yeah, when you live life on purpose, choosing to seek after God, finding His purpose for your life, and a heart to walk by faith and not by sight, that's what's going to happen. And you don't need to fear what others say about you. Don't fear what others say about you. Consider what God said. Oh, more than a conqueror. I'm dressed, I have the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. I'm shod by the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm girded with truth. I wear the armor of God. You know what the devil sees when you get up in the morning and you are that? Father, Holy Spirit, thank you for another day. And you jump out of bed. You decide, you pray first. You read your Bible first. You know what the devil sees? He sees God's armor. God's armor. He doesn't know who's inside there. So don't say some stupid unbelief thing and say, oh, I'm feeling so sick today, and give yourself away. All he sees is God. You get up in the morning, he sees God. Well, what do you think? This is what they crucified Jesus about. Who are you to be equal with God? Well, guess what he said? He's in me and I'm in him. We're one and the same. If he's in me and on me and I'm in him and we're all one, then what does that mean? It means that you want to see, if the dying world's going to see Jesus today, up to when, other than when he returns, they're going to see him in you. And some people might hate that and some people will love it. But they better see him in you because they've got no hope outside of us. Paul isn't coming out of the grave to go preach the gospel anymore. It's you and me and the Spirit of God. And man, we hold ourselves back because of our human thinking. We're not the same. Have you asked Jesus into your heart? Can I have a show of hands? Who has asked Jesus into their heart? Forgive me, Lord. I believe you are Christ. You raised from the dead. I believe. And you forgive me. I said, okay. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Old Testament, or no, I should say Old King James says, something that never existed before. Something that never existed before. You're a new creation. New King James. New creation. I like the Old King James. More poetic. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Yeah. You're new. You're something that didn't exist. You're not your old you. You're not. Change the world. God's in us. Man, we can do this. We can do this. It's not up to me. You think you have no idea what I was. Before I knew Jesus, I was shy. I am not lying. I could not talk in front of people at all. I skipped classes if I had to give a speech. I'd rather get a zero. How stupid is that? And look at what God puts me. And I had no intent of anything like this. But you know, as you just yield to him, he says he gives you more boldness. You serve well as a deacon, and all a deacon is a servant in God's house. And he'll give you boldness. Well, all that happened to me. Ask my wife. She watched the transformation. Now I can't help myself. Now I just never shut up about Jesus. Some may say you're not smart enough. Don't worry about what others say. They might say you're not good looking enough, you're not sharp enough, you're not educated enough, you're too fat, you're too thin, you're too short, you're too tall. I get the too short thing all the time. I don't care. Don't have to be 6'6" to preach. It's a good thing. You might need to be 6'6" to be in the NBA, but man, it doesn't matter who you are physically. God inside of you changes everything. You love God with all your heart. You trust him. You know, perfect love casts out fear. You don't need to be afraid of what others say. God's will for your life must be done. We can't waste our time. We got one life to live. And like I said, 24 hours a day. Let's do everything that we can with it. Don't be afraid of what others say. Consider what God says. What did God say? More than conqueror, faith to move mountains, righteousness of God in Christ, anointed of God. It's so good. There's so much. I mean, get into your word and believe what he said. You were born with a purpose. God has a plan for your life. And you can do it. We're Canadian. You can do it. Canada. I Canada. Okay, I can't do it. I got that from a cartoon, actually a movie. You are created in the image of God, and that is the truth. Now, when I look at Dave or Yolanda or Karen or anybody, I don't physically see God, but I know God is in there. You're in God's house on Sunday morning. Amen. And you're a believer. God is right there in that seat. Sometimes we're so, oh God, why don't you hear my prayers? Well, look in the mirror. He's right there. It's not like we have to reach out and we pray, but when we pray, we're believing. When we pray, we're to believe that we receive, that he hears us. When you fall to your knees, know that he's right there with you, hearing every word. And he knows the thoughts and the intent of your heart. He knows the motivation behind it. Be quick to pray, Lord, forgive me if there's anything unrighteous in any thought. Because, you know, every day we see stuff, we hear stuff, we do stuff, and we get mad at somebody in traffic over nothing, and we're too natural and carnal. Be quick to run to him for forgiveness. But realize once you have, you're clean. And anything you ask for, boldly expect. You ask in Jesus' name, he said, ask that your joy may be full. It's not a license for us to be greedy. Remember, because we're seeking him and his kingdom. It's a license to be used by God. You read in context what Jesus was saying when he said, ask that your joy may be full. He was talking about not winning houses and cars and jewelry and popularity and the easy life. He was talking about winning souls and changing the kingdom. And watching millions, thousands, I guess, in those days, I don't know, come to the Lord. But you read it in context. He's talking about being used of God, the gifts and the outpouring and the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, just ask and he'll give it, that your joy will be full. He'll pour through us. We just got to get on God's plan. Now, number two, this is purpose. When we find it, it's going to birth passion. And passion makes all the difference. Now, look at this photo. You got a bunch of photos. How do you think somebody becomes so dominant that they enter the Olympics representing their country? Now, you think about it. The Olympics, you see 14 people or 8 people or 12 people in a race, depending on what it is. Every one of them is from a different country, or maybe two from each country. The very best their entire nation has to offer in one race. And you don't think that they got there just by chance because they woke up one day and decided, oh, you know what, it'd be fun. No, they were passionate about it. And they worked themselves to the bone. Some for education. They went after it. They wanted to be a lawyer, a doctor, a teacher. They went after their dream and they put effort in day after day, year after year, where others would quit before they get there. They decided to press through. And the boxer, they fight as children in the ring, learning how to dodge and weave and step and work out and watch everything they eat and train diligently and watch everything. They watch videos of the way the other guy fights. And he tends to, after he swings with a left, then he'll come right back with a right uppercut later in the ring when he thinks your guard's down. So if you fake him and you just drop your guard a little, as soon as that comes over, you just dodge and give him a... You know, they learn and they try and they work and they end up becoming champions. And then there's somebody, politics, they don't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to be a politician. Well, I shouldn't say too much about that because in our country that might be the case. But normally it takes a lot of work, and you work your way up through years and years of effort and training and working. And it's not easy. But when your heart is in something, you become passionate about it. And if you'll put your heart full force in the things of God and God's kingdom like we're supposed to, we purpose in our heart, as Paul said, or as Barnabas said, we purpose in our heart to find our purpose in God, then the passion comes. Passion will cause you to push harder than others. That's how you get to be an Olympian. Because you, when everybody else is just, it's too hard, they keep pushing and keep pushing. There's many, many men in the NHL. We know hockey well. We're in Canada. Many that are there that all the way through said, you'll never make it. You're too small, you're too short, you're too light, you're not fast enough, your shot's not hard enough. And yet here they are making millions of dollars a season in the NHL because they persevered, because their heart was in it and their passion was that they will not quit. They will not listen to what others have to say. And they end up at the top of the game. The entire world looks at them and pays them a fortune to play a game that most of us play for free for fun and exercise. But they were passionate about it. And no matter what anybody said, they kept on pressing. Passion will keep you excited when others grow tired and weary of it. Passion will drive you forward when others would rather quit or halt or even just retreat. Only passion brings great accomplishment. You really want to fulfill your destiny in Christ? You want to find out exactly what God's got for you and then run with it and go all the way with God and really accomplish what He had birthed you for? And it's going to take some passion. You got to pursue it. You got to get after it and keep going when everybody else says you're a failure or when other people don't understand or they said, oh, you're trying too hard. Just love them and keep running with God. Because passion will bring you to the final place that you want to get to. You don't get anything great in this life without diligently pursuing it with all your heart. That's the only way. And in God's kingdom, it's no different. You want to be God's best. I mean, I don't know Billy Graham personally, but I'll bet he was pretty passionate. To end up speaking to 50 and 60,000 people at a time, you have to be pretty passionate to grow that kind of a ministry. You have to be pretty passionate. Now, yeah, God's equipped him for that. But he had to line up with what God had purposed for his life. He had to go after it with all his heart. He had to seek first the kingdom and let everything else go by the wayside to accomplish it. So we see his accomplishment, but it's all that passion along the way, that willingness to commit, to do what nobody else would do, to keep going when there were six people in a meeting and he spent $10,000 to put it on, to keep going and keep going and keep going. We don't see all that stuff. We see these huge stadiums full of people and world records everywhere he went at how many people gathered for one meeting of any kind because of his passion. He loved the Lord with all his heart and he wouldn't let anything stop him. Well, we have the same spirit in us. A God that says all things are possible to him who believes. So believe God for your biggest dreams, and then when it comes to pass, believe him for more. Ask him for more. Keep on going. Each of us can change the world. I might be looking at some of the best businessmen, teachers, ministers, preachers, evangelists, school teachers, and construction company owners, just the best in the world right here in this room. If you just go for it with all your heart and stay with God all the way. Success in a pursuit is not determined by head knowledge, but by heart action. Lots of people have good ideas, but the ones that pursue it with all their heart are the ones that accomplish something great. Passion will keep you on course, fulfilling your destiny. And our passion feeds our endurance. Now you're going to need this. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." So, what are we determined to do? What can I do today? I'll tell you what. Pursue God. Pursue your God-given destiny. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." We got to run our race. So run your race. The Bible didn't say walk or stroll or sit. It says run, R-U-N, run. And running takes effort. And sometimes it hurts and you keep running. Because you run through that pain and you find yourself, you break through and it doesn't hurt anymore. I don't know if any of you have ever run distance, but I've run some distance. And I'm a short guy. And I've run some distance stuff. I loved track in high school. And man, there is pain. But you can run through the pain. And when others are quitting and dropping, you just keep going. And you keep going. And after a while, it leaves. And you get what they call a second wind. And your lungs, I don't know what happens in the lungs, but man, you can just keep going. And you'll find guys that run 16K and at the end sprint. Or 24K and then they sprint. And many others have dropped off and fallen off. Man, you can do this because God is in you. And when it hurts, when it's difficult, when it's most difficult, keep going. Keep going. Run your race. Running gets you somewhere in a hurry. Don't forget that. That's why he said run. You run with God. You don't stroll. You don't just try him here and there throughout your life. You got one life to live. Run with him and get to where he's got you to go as fast as possible. Your future's bright. It's pretty bright. No, that's the next one. It's pretty bright. I know because you'll go. Your future is bright. Souls are at stake. Man, we forget that sometimes. It's the kingdom of this world that God wants us to grow and increase. It's not our comfort zone. He'll bless us. He'll, when we're seeking him, he'll add the stuff. But man, souls are at stake. Find your purpose. Get passionate about your calling and run with God. These are the things we need to do. Find your purpose. Get passionate and run. When God's told you to do it, doesn't matter how many naysayers, you do it. Ask your pastor. He'll pray with you. And we'll make sure that the Holy Spirit is leading you in the right direction, that you're hearing him right, and you know, we'll agree with you, and we'll just all for you. City Light wants you to succeed. No matter what Holy Spirit says to your heart, we want you to succeed in it. And we know this church is going to grow, but we might end up growing in other churches. Maybe there's pastors sitting in here. We don't even know it yet. Just get after God. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Do you remember the words of Paul? Way back at the end, when he was in prison for the last time, he said, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. He stayed on course. I've kept the faith. Don't each of you really want to be able to say those same things from your heart confidently when you reach the end of your days? Amen. I sure do. Man, God's got something for you to do. I don't know what it is. I don't know your life, your history, your hearts, but I know God's in you, and whatever dream it is he's putting in your heart, you go for it with all your might. Our church is behind you, our pastor's behind you. We want you to fulfill your destiny in Christ. Amen. Have a blessed Sunday, everybody. Thanks so much for coming to City Light.